let Satan's evil ways lead you into his wicked world of sin. You can learn right and wrong through the holy word of God, and he will show you if you will only listen to him. Listen to the word of God, what is right and what is not. Heed the voice that calls you, he will lead you to paradise. Later, you'll be lost to the other side.
It's the oldest university in America, having been established in 1636. It has produced 43 Nobel Prize winners. The total cost to attend there one year, including tuition, room, and board, is almost $50,000. It has an annual income of $3.5 billion and an endowment of $36.9 billion. It's the most difficult university to get into, as only 8% of applicants are admitted. Its graduates include U.S. presidents such as John Adams, John Quincy Adams, George W. Bush, John F. Kennedy, Rutherford B. Hayes, Barack Obama, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Theodore Roosevelt. 20 of its graduates have served as a Supreme Court justice, and 2 serving as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Governors, senators, congressmen, and ambassadors are counted among other famous alumni. It is considered by many to be the most prestigious university in the world. Of course, I'm talking about Harvard University. It has the 4th largest library in the world, with over 15 million volumes. If information was electricity, there is probably enough there to run the world for many, many years. What fascinates me the most about Harvard University is the school motto. It's only one word in Latin, veritas, veritas, which is the Latin word for truth. Now, even though the school was founded on the teaching of truth, it does not teach you the truth about what Jesus Christ called the truth, which measures all other truth, which is the Word of God, because Jesus said about this book, the Bible, in John 17:17, your word is truth. Now, we've been learning over the last several weeks that Jesus' half-brother James wrote this little book in the New Testament that teaches that real faith works, and it works by applying the truth that it says it believes to everyday living. Real faith is not invisible. It will be shown by the life of the true believer, and it will be seen by the eyes of the unbeliever. I remind you that there is no difference between the person who says they believe but doesn't live out their belief and the person who says they don't believe at all. What they don't teach you at Harvard Business School is the key to success that is lasting, and the secret to life that is significant is found by being rightly related to the Word of God. That isn't taught there. It was in the beginning. If your faith is real, there will be, in your eyes, a desire to read this book. This book we call the Bible, the Holy Word of God, the blessed word of eternal truth. There will be in your soul a fire to learn this book, and there will be in your heart a hunger to obey this book and apply its truths to every single part of your life. Now, James shares with us 3 keys that you must approach this book and the truth that is in it if you're going to live a life that God honors and God blesses. They don't teach you this at Harvard University. Our text this morning is James 1, 19 through 25. Let's read those verses from the New International Version. The Bible says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." I want to talk to you this morning about what they did not teach you at Harvard University. Here's the first thing. We must personally accept God's word. One of the reasons I'm convinced that James puts so much emphasis in this passage on our relationship to the Word of God is because he remembered how much his half-brother, Jesus, emphasized the importance of the Word of God. So the first lesson you will never learn at Harvard University or Harvard Business School is the importance of approaching God's Word with the right heart. The way we do that is found in verse 21. Here it is again, James 1:21. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." The Greek word for accept literally means to make welcome. It's a picture of receiving a gift with open arms. Now, get this picture in your mind. Many homes have a welcome mat at the front door. It says right up front to any guest that knocks on the door, this is a home that will eagerly receive you and treat you like royalty, will be good to you. That is exactly the kind of attitude you and I ought to have toward God's Word. We ought to have a welcome mat. We ought to be a welcome mat at the front door of our heart, where we say, at every time we get the chance, we want to make sure that God's Word is welcome. Welcome in our heart and in our soul, and that God's Word is a part of our daily lives. The word accept has an even deeper meaning than that. It doesn't just mean to welcome, but it means to allow someone to come in and to totally influence and dominate our home. Just imagine if the President of the United States of America had requested to spend the night in your home. Without question, you would treat him not just like any other guest, but you would literally give him the run of the house because of the office of the President of the United States. When you welcome God's Word into your heart, you must also have that same attitude that whatever the Word of God says goes in your life. Now, in order for that to happen, James says you must get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Now, the word for moral filth literally means wax in the ear. If you let wax continuously build up in your ear, eventually it's going to hurt your ability to hear. That is exactly what bad attitudes, sin, evil thinking will do to your heart. What James is saying is that you've got to remove anything in your heart that would keep you from hearing the Word of God. It could be a spirit of bitterness. It could be selfishness. It could be greed or anger or indifference. That is important, folks, because notice again how James refers to the Word. He says, humbly accept the Word planted in you, James 1:21. Now, that's an interesting metaphor, an interesting example that James uses. When an organ is transplanted into a person's body, be it a liver, heart, lung, pancreas, whatever it may be, doctors wait and watch for a crucial 24 to 48 hours to see if the body will accept or reject the transplanted organ. God wants to plant His Word into your body, directly into your heart. If you have any sin in your life, if you have any kind of bitter spirit or an attitude of rebellion, you're going to reject God's Word. Now, how do you know whether or not your body has accepted God's implanted Word? The answer is really very simple. If you do it, if you live it, and if you obey it. That's it. You should begin every day of your life welcoming God's Word into the home of your heart. You do that by accepting God's implanted Word in you, and you let its truths dominate every part of your life. Now, isn't that simple? Oh, it's a simple process. It's simple to explain. I realize it's more difficult to do, but that is why we must learn the second lesson that you're never going to hear at Harvard graduate or Harvard Business School, Harvard University. Now, remember, the first one is to humbly accept God's Word. Let me just pause here before we go further. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Have you been instructed recently or asked for advice recently about a particular situation and you were told exactly what you ought to do, but instead of receiving it with meekness, the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul, instead of receiving it and obeying it, you were offended? We have to accept God's Word. We have to live it. We have to believe it. We have to do it. Here's the second thing. We must practically apply God's Word. There's a practical application of God's Word that we must employ. Now, we come to that which is far away the most famous verse in this book of James. It is probably one of the most best-known verses, most quoted verses in the Bible. The King James translation says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." In the NIV, it reads this way. We read it earlier. Do not merely listen. This is verse 22 of James 1 from the NIV. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I like that. Do what it says. Now, it shouldn't surprise you that this is the best known verse in James's book. Because once again, this sentence summarizes the entirety of the book. If you want to know how faith works, remember this verse. Real faith doesn't just listen to God's word. Real faith doesn't just take notes on God's word. Real faith doesn't just meditate on God's word. Real faith doesn't even just memorize God's word. Real faith may do all of the above, but yet fall short of real faith. Real faith obeys God's word and applies God's word to everyday life. Are you doing that, my friend? Real faith practices what it preaches and lives what it believes. Now, James is not against listening to God's word. Notice the way he says it. He says in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word. Now, the Greek word for listen was used of those who would go to a lecture. I simply sit and listen to a speaker without any intention of acting on what they hear. Why, we preachers see that every Sunday, don't we, brethren? When you are in college, you have an option of what's called auditing a class. Now, what that means is this. You can sign up for a class. You can simply go and listen to what is taught. You're not required to attend. You're not required to write papers, to take any tests. You don't get any grades. In other words, you are not held accountable at all for anything you listen to. You don't even have to pay attention when you're in class if you don't want to. Boy, I sure wish there was classes like that years ago, don't you? Especially when we were in junior high and high school. We've got far too many people who are simply spiritually auditing the Word of God. I see it every Sunday, every Wednesday. Folks who come to church, they listen, they pay attention, and may even take a few notes. But they have no intention whatsoever of applying what they hear to their lives. They have no intention of making any kind of life change based on the principles that are being explained, being taught. Do you know what I wish? I wish people would quit listening to messages and start living messages. Let me give you a principle I hope you will remember. If you learn truth but don't live truth, you will lose the truth. An old brother used to say to me years ago, if you don't keep on reading, you'll soon not only not learn anything new, but you'll forget what you've learned. Folks, listen, if you learn truth but don't live truth, you'll lose truth. You may have never thought about this, but learning truth is dangerous. It's not enough to be able to say as you walk out of church, for example, I learned a great truth today. The question is, have you allowed that truth to enter into your heart? And has it changed you? Have you allowed that truth to get into your bloodstream, the bloodstream of your mind, and change the way you think? To get into your hands and your feet and to change the way you live. To get into your eyes and change the way you see. To get into your mouth and to change the way you speak. Yeah, dangerous stuff, isn't it? There is a difference between reading a menu and eating a meal. Amen? There is a difference between reading a prescription and taking medicine, right? There is a difference between hearing God's word and applying it. Is that not the case? My friend, if that's all you do, just hear it but never apply it, James says again in verse 22, you deceive yourselves. The word deceive is an interesting word. It means to think you are something when you are not. Now, if you don't accept God's word as the sole authority and rule for the way you live, and if you don't apply God's word to your life so it makes a difference, then you really don't have a relationship with God at all, do you? You just deceived yourself. As he reminds us back in James 1 verse 18, it is through the word of truth that we are born again and have a relationship with God. This is why verse 23 and 24 make so much sense. Again, from the NIV, James 1, 23 and 24, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, James compares God's word to a mirror. Did you know the Bible has a mirror ministry? Oh, yeah. If you have ever thought about this for long, and I want you to, for just a few moments, mirrors can be ruthless. Every mirror has three characteristics. Number one, mirrors don't lie. Number two, mirrors don't play favorites. And number three, mirrors don't worry about feelings. That's right. The basic message of a mirror is, it is what it is. On our dresser in our bedroom is a picture of me. And it was taken by a professional photographer. And of course, I was prepared for the picture and every hair in place, you know, and suit and tie on. And I could get up every morning and say, boy, doesn't that look good, and try to face the day like that. Or I could face reality, go into the bathroom, turn the light on, and look into the mirror. And the mirror, which always tells me the truth, the mirror, which is always there to help me, the mirror, which is always there to give me the feedback that I need, not the feedback that I want, the mirror that doesn't play any kind of favorites, the mirror that doesn't worry about my feelings, says, hey, old buddy, you've got some work to do. That's exactly what the Word of God does. It is what it is. If you think about it, a mirror has two purposes, right? Reflection and correction. A mirror shows you what you look like so you can cover up your bad points and accentuate your good points. Mirrors are not like photographs. An expert photographer can take a picture of you at a certain angle. We call it our good side. And make you look your best. Pictures can also brush up or touch up. They take away warts, blemishes, wrinkles, lines. They make you look 20 years younger. A picture can be made to show your good side. But a mirror, well, they show who we really are. Folks, listen, the Bible is just like a mirror. It will show you what you look like on the inside so you can correct how you live on the outside. Do you know what real faith does? Real faith takes this book called the Bible, looks into it, sees its reflection, sees the blemishes, the pimples, the wrinkles in our soul, in our heart, in our attitude, in our mind, in our words, in our thoughts. And then it allows the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and cleanse them and to make us into what we ought to be. Watch what happens. Once you accept God's Word with an attitude that welcomes its principles into your life, and then you apply those principles in a practical way, James says, you will, and that's the third and final thing I want you to see today, you will properly appreciate God's word. When you see the changes that it can make in your life and turn you into a new person, you will appreciate God's word. Listen to what James writes in James 1:25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, James tells us that God's blueprint for blessing is found in obeying God's word. You'll find that when you obey God's word, no matter how much it may cost you in the short run or hurt you, in the end, it will make you far happier. We find this over and over in the Bible. Psalm 19, verse 11 says, "By them is your servant warned," that is the scriptures. "Your servant is warned, in keeping them there's great reward." Psalm 119, verse 2, "Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." Luke 11, verse 28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." In John 13, 17, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The best benefit package in the world comes from obeying the word of God. I'm going to prove this to you in a positive way and also in a negative way. Let's look at the negative first. Look back at all the things in your life you wish you could do over, all the words that you would like to take back, and all the mistakes you would like to wipe out. Now let me ask you a question. Isn't it true? There would be fewer regrets, fewer skeletons in your closet, far less heartache if in those situations you would have just applied God's word and applied his principles to your life. Isn't it true? Just look back to a principle that James gives. James says in verse 19, "My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." What if every one of us just applied that one principle in our lives? If we could be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, do you think there might be some transformation in some marriages today? Do you think there might be some change between parent and child relationships? What do you think it would do for international relations around the world? What do you think it would do for the poisonous atmosphere we find in our nation's capital? You talk about appreciating God's word. How many times have you said something to someone in haste and anger and seen a relationship that used to be sweet and friendly, but all of a sudden now it's permanently damaged? Because instead of being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, we were slow to listen, quick to speak, quick to lose our temper. No, folks, listen. These are things you're not going to be taught at Harvard or any other university. Unless it's a Christian university. They don't teach these things at Harvard University. God knows the best way to live life because he created it. He gave it to us. He's given us truth, truth that transcends all other truth, and truth that transforms like no other truth. And if you'll accept it and apply it to your life, you'll begin to appreciate it. It'll take us to heaven. It'll help us experience a little heaven right here on earth. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.